welcome one, welcome all. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 121. Howdy, everybody. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of a store called The Portal, located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. Check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at Portal Gaming 60. Portal Gaming Podcast is also a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Hello, everybody. I am your host, The Brant, and with me is...
your co-host, Brian.
And welcome to episode 11 squared. Always good when you get those perfect square numbers in there. I don't know. People celebrate, you know, 100, 150. Well, 100 is also a perfect square.
So I figure how many,
we're going to celebrate all the perfect squares here on out. So 121. I'm going to let people figure out what the perfect squares are.
You'll just leave it up to them.
From 121 on, we'll go from there. So.
I don't know if I'll hold you to that.
My students have to memorize through 25 squared.
Oh, wow. So they'll be excelled.
Yeah, and Dice Tower's not even there yet. So we got a ways to go before we surpass that. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing better now. I was sick for a bit, so I kind of, that made, you know, yeah, it was just a rough weekend, but before then it was kind of, you know, leading into it, I guess, you know, I'm feeling better now. That's the big thing.
Right.
So.
And I was sick, and Gamma, I didn't see you.
Yeah, I know, we've had a bit an inconsistent
I almost feel weeks. Like the last, I guess I saw you a couple Thursdays.
Yep.
And the last time we really did anything significant hangout was like New York Toy Fair.
Oh, like for an extended...
Yeah,
like,
so we're 6 to 7 weeks, you know, without really other than kind of high-fiving you on some Thursday nights or whatever.
Yeah.
And whatnot. Cool. I just got back from a big trip.
Yeah, you had a good time?
Yeah, family trip to Pennsylvania. We kind of went to Tom Vassell's stopping grounds, a little south of there. Actually, Gil Mello was super helpful in helping us out with a couple tickets to a couple places. He lives in that area. Dice Tower contributor, Dwarf Token, he's on Board Game Breakfast, all that kind of stuff. So we went down to kind of southern PA, west of Philly, and we did like the Amish country stuff, rode in a horse and buggy, and saw him working on the farms and everything. Hit Hershey Park.
Nice.
Which is a really big park. I don't know, I didn't realize this. There's like a resort and a school, and there's like 11 roller coasters, and... five sections to the park. I mean, there are like five, you know, like Happy Land and Monkey Land and whatever. They're not named that. Ironically, they're not, you know, like Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Land and, you know, Hershey Chocolate
Bar. What are
they
called?
It was like the Midway.
Oh, okay.
And they were more generic. The candy bars are used for heights.
Okay.
So like, you know, Emma was like a Hershey Kiss. Or something, and Zephyr was a Hershey chocolate bar or something, I don't, whatever.
Yeah.
I think I was a Jolly Rancher, so. And that kind of told you what rides you could go on.
Okay.
Based on what, I think for kids it's easier for them to be like, oh, okay, so just so you know, you're a peanut butter cup. And then when they go to rides and see, like, peanut butter cup on this ride, they know, oh, I'm tall enough. That's kind of smart and cute.
That's nice,
but the park was great. There was not a ton of people there. I think it was, like, the first day it was open.
Okay.
For the
so,
season.
Yeah, I guess it was kind of still... coolish up there, right?
No, it was 75 degrees.
Okay.
It was crazy. Like I just today waking up and coming back, mm-hmm. like it's like 50 and breezy, but it was 75-80 degrees.
Wow.
Just a couple hundred miles to our west. It was amazing. So every day was like 70-75 and sunny, partly cloudy, like it was fine. Did a lot of playing outside, and then we went to the Sight and Sound Theater, which is like a Christian Broadway theater down there. And we saw Jesus, seems apropos for a Christian theater. But it was really cool, very technical, lots of neat things. So we saw that show and then headed on back. But
nice.
Just got a lot of time to hang out outside. We rented an Airbnb, so we had like kitchen, living room, bedrooms,
so kind
and everything.
Of...
we had space. It wasn't like sitting in a hotel. Right. I swear by Airbnb. It's my favorite now. I just always rent people's places.
Yeah, no, it definitely makes it a little... more like home in some ways, so.
Yeah, I mean, cities are tough, right?
Yeah.
When you do it, like for us, when you do a Gen Con or whatever, that's just tough. You want to be close, you know, and the bigger the city, the harder it is to find that kind of area. Indianapolis, I know I've looked for them, but staying at those hotels and being that close is so key, especially with the number of games we're transporting back and forth.
Yeah, that definitely.
You don't want to carry all
that.
That
definitely
stuff,
helps.
So. Anything new with you?
No, nothing that jumps out. I mean, just kind of getting into the, leaning into the con season a little bit more so. So there hasn't been a ton of stuff that we've been seeing come in. It seems like there's a little bit of that gap, but I don't know. It's kind of leading into like Easter as well, which, the time machine side of
Oh,
things
right.
gets a little bit busier, but we do like an Easter egg hunt at the store and
That's
then
great.
all these other, activities and stuff like that. So I know Tabletop Day is going to be the one that'll be the next big one that I'm looking forward to on June 1st. So, that's a little bit pushed back this year. So we'll see how that does.
Yeah, I mean, is it 'cause there's a day and we dedicate to it that people come, or is it because of when it was? It's hard to know, right? June 1st around here is still school. So you don't have people who've gone away for summer, which is nice, But you could have people that are too busy finishing up. We'll see. We'll see how it goes, but it should be great. So you definitely want to check that out June 1st. We're open all day. So if you're wondering if we're open, the answer is yes on that day. We'll be talking more about that. Awesome. Episode 121. We should just jump into some games that we played lately. All right, I think the big one we'll just start with.
All right.
So we got a chance to play Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea with Gary Pope. So if you've listened to the Dice Tower recently, Gary Pope was on there and he was talking about playing Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea
And one of
over and
those
over.
times,
And one of those 6 or 7 times or whatever he said was with us at the portal. So Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea is not a tiny epic game. It is a large epic game from Gamelan Games and Scott Ulms. And it's totally a 4X game. And it's various kind of generic fantasy races fighting for really no particular reason other than to be the best and score victory points. So it has victory points at the end. So anyway, but probably what it's really trying to do is trying to take one of these grand scale Twilight Imperium, Civilization, these games that are 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours and attempting to make one that's under 4. Yeah, it's about there. So we played with 6. So you've got asymmetric races. I was the goblins. Do you know who you were?
The lion kin or something like
Lionkin, perfect.
that.
The family of lions.
Yeah.
And we had other races, undead. Now Gary has everything: painted miniatures, neoprene mat to lay out, all the expansion races. I think on Dice Tower he said there were 10, but I felt like there were like 12 or 14 that we looked through. So I think
I
they were
don't know. I
wrong.
didn't really check
Yeah, you
through.
just got
I
caught up
got
in the
there
pile.
and grabbed one.
Yeah, so very grand scale. We lay out this neoprene mat. We had to push 2 tables together, but it definitely looked cool. One of the races, the birds had like this floating plate up in the air. And so basically what happens on your turn is you have 2 different types of actions, and I can't remember exactly what they were, but there's basically like public actions and private actions. And they have a different, more kingdom-related term that's not jumping into my brain. But when you do a public action, everybody can follow, a la Puerto Rico, Glory to Rome, any of those kind of follow. And when you do a private one, you just get to do it. And you're either assigning one of your 2 tokens on your turn, or you're assigning your serfs to follow. And serfs are peasants or workers that you can attain. You basically have serfs and warriors, and then you have heroes, and then you have sea vessels and air vessels, hence your heroes of land, air, and sea. And so you're doing these various actions. You are recruiting new people, and you are moving and fighting. And you are building and you're researching spells, all those kind of things. Every player has an individual continent. That part was very smooth. I really thought the 2 actions and going around the table for the first several rounds was really nice and smooth. It didn't feel like 6 was a brutal thing that we were doing.
No, and everyone was kind of taking full advantage of that, doing, basically doing most of the actions that they could do to start. So
Right.
that was definitely the beginning.
Yeah, so that was basically what's going on in the game. Eventually, the game is going to end when you trigger one of the 4 end game conditions, which are focused on expand, exploit, exterminate, and what's the other one I'm missing? I always forget the 4 for whatever reason. Did I say explore? Is that expand?
Expand, I think.
Don't know if those are the same. Anyway, yeah. So there's exploration tiles all over the map. When those are all flipped, the game will end. When one player has recruited all of their warriors and serfs, the game will end, which I think those are expand and explore. I think those
okay,
are
okay, yeah.
When there's little towers you have to build, and you can build a tower per continent. Each player's a continent. So when you get somebody else's and you build a tower, if you build three towers, one on your own, you can only have one on each continent, the game will end. That's the exploit. And exterminate, if you destroy somebody's capital, they're out of the game, and that triggers the end game. Now, when you trigger end game, this is probably our biggest complaint for the game. It's hands
from
down
the
mine.
First, yeah, the one time we played, yeah.
From the one time we played, is it triggers end game, you finish that round, and you play another round. Now, rounds were pretty snappy. They were like 15 minutes, maybe even 10 in the beginning, like when it's
yeah,
boom, boom,
quick.
Boom. But I saw it coming, and I know that I got a little annoying at the table because I wanted the game to end, so then we had one more round because I knew once we triggered that end game, it was going to screeching halt.
Right.
Everybody was going to overthink and attack each other like crazy, and that was exactly what happened. And when we finally triggered end game, now people are like, oh no, now I got to get all these things in. And our last round took, like, over an hour.
Yeah, well, combat takes a bit longer. Like, that kind of dilutes it. Like, if there is a combat, then you're talking, you know, adding mm-hmm. on some some significant time just with the, like, back and forth there. I know it's not, like, brutal, but, I mean, it does kind of give you some things to math out and, you know, what characters do I need to bring in, all that sort of stuff. So that can kind of slow it down, and it does get to the point where everyone's trying to min-max their position, and just based on like what's around them, kind of see this person needs to do this. Are they coming after me, or are they going after this other person? Which one makes sense from their perspective? So you're kind of jumping into everyone else's shoes on your turn, so you can do the best thing for you.
Right.
And you know, that's kind of the opposite of most of the game, how most of the game flows,
right.
Which is the tough thing for how that final round kind of just becomes a different type of a type of system that you're playing. So, I don't know, I guess that's kind of where it did fall a little bit flat for us. But, you know, the rest of it, the build-up was definitely intriguing, you know, trying to figure out what, you know, what our characters could do best, like what made us unique and what we needed to race toward, you know, it, in some ways it did give that, like, that feel where, like, the gameplay is not like Terra Mystica, but, you know, you are trying to, like, figure out what path you need to go on to best, you know, best position yourself in the game.
Right.
So that's kind of where that play comes about. And obviously, like, just knowing factions, like, a second play would be completely different for some people. You know, just kind of finding a different path and, you know, assumptions definitely come into it where you think the play is going to come about this way. And then, you know, if it doesn't really materialize that way, your whole path might be a little bit off. But but it was interesting to kind of to check that out and try to, like, to explore that side of it. So I don't know, that was definitely fun. And I think with the variety that you have, all the different factions give you a lot of replayability where you can, you know, test the waters on everything. And, you know, even from game to game, maybe combat's a heavier focus on one game, so it kind of gives you a completely different take on that. But I don't know, it was definitely neat. I don't know I don't know if it's something that I'm going to be rushing out to pick up, but I'd play it again if I had the time and, you know, the player count for it. So
a couple things that you said that we should focus on. One is just combat quickly. It's basically kind of a rock, paper, scissors. You have a hand of cards. You can play one card. You get the card back afterward, and it adds to your strength. Your strength is going to be related to the units that you have in battle. You have some heroes that have special powers, and you basically pay resources to play a card. Cards will also give you victory points. So that could be something, is playing the cards just to get victory points. They also counter, oh, if I play Siege and you play Protect against the Siege, whatever, then those can negate a little bit in terms of that. And then the asymmetric powers I thought were neat, but they really weren't as varied as I wanted them to be. Like, I really wanted to see different play styles. I don't know. I played one, and I saw some other people playing them. I didn't read their boards. There were definitely different powers, so I don't take that away from them. But it didn't feel like, even, like you're talking Gaia Project Terra Mystica, it's like, oh, you're able to do that? That completely breaks the rules of the game. I didn't see a lot of that in terms of all them. But again, I played one of 10, 15, so it's easy to say. But I think last week Kathy and I reviewed Villainous Wicked to the Core, and even just in that, like the asymmetry of the characters in Villainous, I absolutely love because they just totally play different. In this game, it just felt like, oh, I have some special powers that might come into play
right.
every now and then, as opposed to like I'm totally thinking different.
Well, so and you, everyone starts off on the same level, you know, because you're the way you differentiate yourself is by building buildings and having characters out that are unique to your faction, and everyone starts off kind of with generic stuff.
Right.
So once the buildings start being built, that's where you ramp up a little bit and you have all these unique things based on what buildings they give you. So I know, like, at the beginning it's really just you're playing the game and what you see is kind of what you get, but as it goes on, when other people are building buildings, you know, everyone might build a building in the same round, right? Like so now all of a sudden everyone has potentially, you know, like one more power that they've got access to, or you know, maybe even two or three based on like how far their civilization has advanced. So like one building could trigger three different things that come into play, right?
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden, you, if you wanted to like know everything that you can, like everything that's available to you, all the information that's out there on your turn, you'd have to like ask each person like what their buildings do, you know, like all that sort of stuff. So you're kind of just playing the game and kind of assuming people can do different things, and hoping that there isn't something that's like, you know, like if you're going into combat with someone, you probably want to check their buildings out ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're just kind of hoping that their buildings don't like completely decimate you based on where you are.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So some of that is just knowing like what the different factions do, you know, it's kind of one of those things where if there's something that breaks the game that your faction can do, like it's probably good to just say, you know, hey, if I build this building and I have access to this like top action, you know, I'm going to be doing this every turn. And, you know, like I guess that's kind of worst case. Like if that helps you going into it, you probably want to know like what the worst case scenario is for each faction. But besides that, if you're just playing it and exploring, like it's not a huge deal. And you kind of like, it's totally a game where you can just play it, have fun with it. If you get completely wiped out and you're just, you know, in dead last, I think it's still enjoyable.
Yeah.
But I could see some people not liking that aspect of it, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting, the little bit more that I looked into the game, just seeing and playing, like, it limits your resources.
Mm-hmm.
It maxes you at 10 of each type. So that's kind of limiting, like, the Euro player from just sitting in a corner and amassing resources and building, like, a giant castle. Like, and then it gives a lot of points for battle. Like, you just get a point for starting a combat. So you could just get it and lose, or just get it and play a card and get a bunch of points, and you could just be fighting everywhere, which would completely take out your, like, Euro get resources mm-hmm. element. So it was just interesting in terms of, like, what it did to keep away from turtling and push people towards each other. So that was, I thought that was pretty well done. Of course, exploration token. Ooh, I could get free stuff if I go out. That was actually another issue. The exploration tokens, it's got that classic really good and really bad. The really bad, I guess, weren't, like, always detrimental, but in the beginning, if you just step on something that's like do this or die and you just lose your unit because you can't do the thing,
right,
it's a little frustrating. Although I guess it lets you build towers to kind of scout those tokens, but that's a very slow process.
Yeah, I mean, it felt worse, but the people that, like, did you get hit with some bad ones?
None.
Okay. But Ben did. He got some, like, mm-hmm. really bad ones to start, and I think he was in second,
well.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, it's kind of like maybe it just felt worse than it actually was. Or that might have also been if people took advantage of it. Like, we weren't at the point where we were going to be saying, okay, this person's had some rough luck to start. Let's go in and attack him and take him out while he's got, like, while he's behind everyone.
Right, that's true.
So, I don't know. But it was, you know, you definitely felt like there were some some rewards that were much better for, like, just doing the exact same thing as someone else.
So the last thing I would talk about would be length of the game. Mm-hmm. So we played six players. I think two people had played before, and four of us had not.
Right.
All in all, it was about 4.5 hours. That's like a half hour setup. The setup and the rules really weren't tragic. Now, six people setting up was a lot, but everybody was helping. And laying out two tables at a game store obviously helps too. in terms of that, and Breakdown was another 20
Right.
minutes. But to me, this game is going to shine if it stays at 3 hours and under. Because once I get to four, I'm like, should I have just hung out for another hour or two and played Twilight Imperium 4? Now, I know you had played Twilight Imperium 4 recently. And
yeah.
You haven't reviewed that on the podcast. You're going to talk about that in a minute. That's your first play.
That was my first
play. All right, we got to get to that. So, but that lasted something like 7 to 8 hours?
It lasted longer, yeah. Definitely.
Okay, so that is very long for that game, too. But anyway, my point being, if this game is going to push over 4 hours, there's not enough there to make me not want to play Civilization or Twilight Imperium 4, something like that, instead. So this game really needs better 3. Now, I think it would. I think if you played 4, even if you didn't cut that final round, I think with 4, that final round wouldn't be an hour. It would be like 30, 35 minutes, and that would be fine for a final round that happens in games. But I would almost, with 6, have cut that. Hey, the game end triggers. It's going to end at the end of this round. We're done. I think would have been fine to me instead of a whole, let's all just blow up the land. You know?
Because you're winning or no?
I won either way. I was winning at the end of the round when we triggered, and I won at the end of the game. But that piece. And, I mean, obviously learning, we're asking a lot of rules. You could speed that up. So I think this game can stay under 3 hours, and I think that's where it's great. I mean, it's an awesome table presence. Mm-hmm. It's fun. Like you said, you could lose this game and still have fun.
Right.
I mean, you could really take it to heart, I guess, if everybody jumped on you or if people kicked you while you were down.
Right.
I could see that being frustrating. I didn't understand a faction or went up against a faction that negated your power. Could be really frustrating.
Well, this was also scheduled, like, what was it, that morning that it was kind of put together? So it's like, at least with that game, like, we were able to do that. Just call people together and say, hey, come down, we're going to do this kind of ad hoc. Like, it's not like one of the things, like, TI4 was scheduled for, you know, months out, and it was like a full day's commitment, whereas this one was really just, hey, let's see if this works. And we got 6 people together and played.
Nice. So. Well, that is Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea, which should be coming to retail relatively soon.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be this week, next week, week after,
something like that. So
I know that doesn't really matter.
whichever. But I really liked it. So for all the negatives that I focused on, the positives were great. My only thing would be, do I want to teach this to 6 people over and over and over again? I don't think so. I think it's at least something that I want to plan, who I'm going to have and probably play more at the 4 count. Which, of course, that's then telling, you know, saying to people, don't buy the one with... But if you buy the one with, like, to be able to expand it to 5 and 6, you also get other factions. So that is a bonus to that. But you would play it again?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of competition in that category, right?
Sure. Kemet,
like, Cyclades, there's all the stuff that, you know, I would play. And, you know, there are some games that I definitely play sooner than Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea, but... You know, if someone's going to be calling another another game night out for it, you know, I'd hop in.
Nice. So. All right. We're going to pause. I don't want to... No, we're not going to literally pause. I don't want you to compare Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea...
But you want me to go
to Twilight Imperium 4.
TI4.
And you don't need to explain Twilight Imperium 4.
Okay, you already did that a bit.
Whatever. It's just too much, right?
So, but yeah.
Tell us your experience and what you thought, because I've been wanting you to play this game.
Yeah. No, it was one of those just... It was a scheduled event, you know, where we ended up having 3 tables going at the portal playing Twilight Imperium 4. How long ago? It was the beginning of March, so it was a little ways back. But I ended up hopping in. There was a game, I think there was a table of 4 players, there was a table of 5, and a table of 6. Mm-hmm. So there was some good variety there. I was in the table with 5, and it definitely, you know, like we were a little bit slower to kind of get going, I think, because... The 6th table had everyone, like, they had, a few people had played, they were ready to kind of get going. The table of 4 is just a little easier to get together, and I think they all knew each other as well. So we kind of had to go through, learn the ropes and all that sort of stuff. But no, it was definitely very, very intriguing. You know, like, I don't even know where to start. Like, it all built up, you know, and it felt like from the get-go you were making decisions that mattered, right? Like,
absolutely.
picking the cards that you, like, the actions that you were going to do on your round, and whatever, what are those called? The, like, roll cards?
Yeah,
or
the strategy cards.
Strategy cards, yeah, and going through and doing all that. And just kind of, like, playing the table a little bit was interesting. You know, you definitely are put into a position where if something goes wrong, or, you know, if one person, two, like your neighbors kind of decide, you know, hey, we don't actually need a person between us.
Yeah.
It can definitely get out of hand. And fortunately for our game, we were kind of spreading into the game, not really like completely trying to decimate anyone, which kind of, I think that helps my my style a little bit more.
You can't, though, because you can overplay your own hand in going after somebody, and then you become weak. And it's not even necessarily weak in that somebody will take your home system, but weak in terms of they'll just spread into your territory that you've already taken.
Right.
So it's clever. It's smart in its design, and that you can't really fully, you can fully decimate somebody, but you don't really want to without really good incentive. Yeah. Like two objective cards that say this is what you should do.
All right. Yeah, I mean, the basic flow of our game was we had five people. I think I kind of ran out. I was a little bit like, what ended up happening? We had one, my neighbor to my right wasn't really going to be attacking me. Like, there was a little bit of a tense truce sort of going on. We did trade the card, so we were... there was less incentive for us to attack each other. So there was kind of that going on. I ended up pushing the limits, ended up rushing out to... What's the middle one? Is that Rex?
Mechatol Rex.
Okay, so I pushed to get there because someone else had much more... like, it was much more beneficial for someone else to get there, so I tried to beat them to the punch.
Mm-hmm.
I rushed out, got there first, and defended it with like one unit left that was just kind of sitting there, and no one else was really like in a position to get there, so I was sitting on Mechatol Rex for a little bit, just kind of there with with my force spread a little thin. The person that I beat to the punch was definitely in the in the boat of now trying to attack me for like the rest of the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of knew that was coming, but you know, I was able to generate a little bit of like of a lead to try to get, you know, like get enough, get some units on the board and all that sort of stuff, and do enough to protect myself from her push. And then there were two other people that were kind of on the other side of the board from me, so it was not as big a deal from that perspective. You know, one person was more in that slow build of just, you know, getting a lot of stuff and kind of building up their empire. The other person was kind of more in conflict with with the person that had been pushing the Mechatol Rex.
Mm-hmm.
So there was kind of this, there was a lot of combat on one, between the three of us. I guess that was kind of where most of that was going on. But it ended up being, I was running out, but then completely stalled out. So the person that had been building up their full empire and kind of gained some traction, they were the ones that kind of overtook my spot. They got the middle, they got Mechatol Rex, and then I think they would have had enough to just to win with a normal, the normal last couple rounds.
Mm-hmm.
I know our end was a little bit weird where there was just a trade to get that last victory point, which was kind of known. It gave one person another step up in the like the rankings, but just ended up ending the game basically. So I think with everything, like I probably could have done that same trade and won, but I don't think I would have earned it in that sense, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It would have really just been, hey, do you want to give me the win or this person the win? I feel like they had a better position at that point, and they were going to win the game unless something crazy lucky came up for me. Mm-hmm. I was kind of at a point where I didn't have any momentum.
It was
fun to try to like to figure everything out, and I think the huge thing is everyone's starting off with, you know, like the variability is just huge, right? Everyone starts off with completely different incentives. You know, they're just trying to do all these different things, and it gives a very good push and pull, like with everything that you're trying to do. So, I'm glad I played it. I'd definitely hop in again. I know it's more of a commitment.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of why I hadn't played it before then.
Sure.
But you know, it definitely it felt like it was a great day to kind of do that. We just had a good group of people coming out. And for the most part, I think everyone had a great time.
Nice.
So.
Yeah, so a very ironic game, because I've been playing games with you for like 6 years, 7 years, who knows how long that we've known each other, whatever.
Yeah.
I played this game 20 times before I met you. And I think I played it once since I've met you, right? And not with you. and yeah, and it's just funny in terms of that this is a game I've played so many times. Now, so truth be told, I've never played TI4.
Right.
So I believe the politics don't start until you took Mechatol Rex.
Correct.
Is that correct? But you did that, it sounds like, by the second round, third round?
It sounds right. I mean, it was a long time ago, yeah, but it was sure. pretty early on.
Because you said you rushed, so I assume if you went, because there's got to be your home, there's got to be three moves to get there.
Yeah.
And if you double move, then maybe you got there in two rounds. Because one of the commands is probably pick up the command tokens, one of the strategy card tiles.
Yeah, it was either second or third. I mean, it was pretty quick.
So that's a change. Mm-hmm. And then the other changes are just small, like the way the trade tokens work to give more incentive for everybody to trade with everybody and stuff like that. But really, TI4 is just, let's make another box and throw more stuff in. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't feel significantly different. I never played TI2, but like I've seen TI2, and it's chits, and it looks like a GMT. Mm-hmm. Style game.
Well, wasn't the tech track like a big change or something?
Yeah,
that's the major thing.
Oh, for TI4.
Yeah.
Well, it used to be like you had to look at a chart on the back of the book.
Okay.
Which meant you had to print those for everybody, and then they're in black and white, mm-hmm. but they're colored icons, so you had to like recognize the icon. And now they just built the tech track on your player board, so you could just, and then you just, it's more visual. Oh, if I build this now, it's showing me that I can build this or whichever. So cool, awesome. Well. So you would play again?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I got to figure that out, because I got to play TI4. I just have to plan.
Just the day.
Yeah, I don't know how. I can't play with Kathy. She won't play Space Game, and that is most definitely a Space Game.
She had played it, or TI3 before.
Oh, yeah.
Like a few times back in the day.
Oh, yeah, she was there for the throne chair event.
Okay, nice.
All right. Let's move on from big games to a tiny game, I guess. Tiny Town.
Yeah.
So this is one that you guys brought back from Gamma.
Yep.
And it's releasing relatively soon, I believe, as well.
Yeah, I think it's middle or end of April.
Okay.
So
relatively soon. Tiny Towns is just a really simple game. So you just got a bunch of cards out on the table that show, I guess, they're not polygons, of just shapes with cubes.
Right.
Yeah, colored cubes, and you're trying to build various buildings on your board. So you've got a 4x4 grid on your board, and on a player's turn, they say blue, and everybody takes a blue cube and puts it on a spot on their grid. And then that's red, and then the next one says gray, and then whenever you have a shape that's on one of the cards, you can replace it any location where you built, you can put a building.
Mm-hmm.
And then the buildings have various effects, and then there's like four of each type of building in the game, and seven different types of buildings, I believe, seven or eight, so there's like a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And it's just trying to figure out how I can score. Eventually what happens, you get stuck. You have to place a cube, but you can't, and you can't build anything. So you're done, and you score. At the end, every cube you have on your board that is not a building is -1 points, and then you get all these points. And I guess the variant, or the advanced mode, includes like a special building for every player that you can build, which is basically you're going to play with that. Maybe a first play, you would avoid it just to.
They didn't teach us at Gamma when they were like running through just different people. They didn't teach us with that.
Just speeds up teach.
Yeah, because I mean, now the setup is really easy. If you want to just have people come to you and play, then it's easy enough to just have everything laid out that that you want in the game, as opposed to dealing out cards once people are sitting down and giving them options. So
yeah,
but. Yeah, no, it plays really quickly. It's a great game. I know AEG's really excited. We pre-ordered a bunch, so it's one of those games that I think we should have. I think there's going to be some excitement over it.
Yeah.
Hopefully that translates into people wanting to buy it.
Sure.
But we'll see. I know it's just really easy to play.
The price point is beautiful at $40.
Yeah.
The components are great, like little meeple buildings, which look awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, cubes, I guess, are kind of boring, but they make sense in this case, right? To have a cube there. And it's really fun to just wrap your head around, and it's kind of on a level playing field. Like, you're playing and you're trying to figure out the rules overhead is just so small. Mm-hmm. Everybody's just trying to think the same thing, and then you're trying to react. So my one little negative is when I played it with six, it's just you basically are forced to do what other players... You have to build the same type of buildings.
Right.
Because you're trying to go rogue and build something different, then the color cubes you want aren't going to come out and you're going to get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed in there it had like a first-time variant. We have like a cave where you can take two cubes that get called and stick them in the cave. So you can basically skip two turns. That would work pretty well. I'd almost like a tote with six. I'd almost like a card you flip and you say, nope, I'm not going to take that token. Like, okay, Brian calls red. Oh, I don't want red. And then on my turn, I get to flip that back over. And as it goes around, I can say no to one person every go around. I feel like something like that. So it says 1 to 6 on the box. I feel like the six gets a little... I mean, you can just build everybody else's building, but then everybody's towns are basically the same buildings.
Right.
And you lose a little bit of that joy. I don't know, 5. I feel like it'd be kind of similar. 4 is probably okay. You get one out of every 4 choice, and somebody's going to choose a good color for you, and somebody else might not.
But either way, we're talking, it doesn't take very long to play it.
It's like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, 10. So. 10 if you're flying, and 15. Yeah, it's just great fun. It's just classic. Here's a puzzle, figure out the puzzle, play all together, laugh as you're playing. Oh, I figured that out. Oh, that worked. Come on, take right. Everybody, no, don't take right. Great. Ah, you know, like it's just got those moments which are really fun in terms of that. Tiny Towns.
Yeah.
AEG. Why don't you tell us about this one?
Oh, Sprawlopolis.
Yeah.
So that's Sprawlopolis is one of the wallet games from Button Chai Games, which, you know, it, I guess the one that we had played a while ago, Circle the Wagons, was great. That was the first time I had played one of those, and it's Sprawlopolis kind of has a similar feel to it, except in this game it's a cooperative game where you're building out the city based with all these different cards. How many cards come in the Button Chai?
Usually 18.
18 cards. Yeah. So basically you've got like 3 that you flip over that give you scoring options. They tell you like what gives you points, and they also give you, they just tell you what you can score, and they give you a target point value to reach for you to win the game. Then besides that, you just deal out some cards, and you have a deck that's kind of refilling hands as you play cards from the hands. You're just going through, playing one card onto the city, and one card per turn, and kind of overlapping different. Different zones that you're trying to utilize based on the scoring options, right? So each card is broken into 4 different zones. There's like residential, commercial, industrial, and parks.
Yeah.
So those 4 different regions are on every card. They're laid out differently though. Like each card has a different orientation of it, and a lot of the times, in everything but the parks, you're gonna have some cards where there are roads that are cutting through, and they're giving you something to connect. A lot of the scoring cards kind of give you incentive to utilize the roads. And at the very end of the game, you also lose 1 point for every road in your city, which is huge. That's like one of the big things that you can kind of make.
Yeah, and a road would be like things that are connected. So not each block that contains a road,
right.
But like a whole. So,
if you connect,
incentive is to connect
2 cards together and the roads line up, now all of a sudden 2 roads become 1.
Yep.
So you're going through building up the city, and then again you're just trying to score points based on like one might say to have an industrial section adjacent to 2 residential sections or something like that. Like it's got all these different things, and those might give you 2 points or something. And then if you also get points based on each of your largest of the 4 different zone types. So like if you have 4 parks together and that's your biggest section of parks, you get 4 points for that. Mm-hmm. And you do that for the 3 others as well. So it plays really quickly with only like 18 cards or so. You're going through the deck and you're really trying to utilize what you can. Like it's just, you have a lot of good decisions in the game, and I think it plays really quickly. So it's a neat puzzle to try to figure out. And with those 3 cards that are flipped over every game for the scoring. Like, it gives you a lot of variability.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not going to be playing the same game twice. So Sprawlopolis is great. We brought in a lot of the Button Shy games recently. So, you know, check it out if you want to try some of those. They're, you know, they're not very expensive. And, you know, you get a lot of game in those.
Yeah, it's Circle the Wagons I reviewed prior. And that one's great, too. So
yeah.
Yeah, I really like Sprawlopolis. I played it with Kathy and her mom. We played three.
Yeah.
I think it just says 1 to 2. I don't even know what it says on there, but it was great.
Yeah,
with
it's
three.
Still...
it worked very similar, so... All right, cool. Last up, we're going to do Welcome to Centerville. So this is a game from GMT Games. And so this is... oh gosh, who's the designer? And he made Dominant Species and Combat Commander, and it's trying to be Chad Jensen. Got it. Okay, so this is a game from Chad Jensen, and he had previously made a game called Urban Sprawl, which is a big city-building game that I have played like by myself but never gotten a group to sit down and play. And it seems really good, but it's definitely like one of these high-calculated spreadsheet-style games. Which I think, like, you, Larry, and I would really enjoy it. I think it would be really good. But then he took that and he made, like, a dice game. So everybody kind of calls this Urban Sprawl the dice game. And it very much is that. So what's happening is you've got a bunch of dice that you're rolling to turn 6. And they're color-coded to zones of a city. Sounds similar to kind of what we were talking about with Sprawlopolis and Tiny Towns. There's a city-based thing here. And you roll the dice... And then you can re-roll and re-roll again, Yahtzee style, in terms of that. And there's some little sand hourglass tokens. If you get an hourglass token, you tick up the hourglass. And you're essentially trying to score victory points. But it's a unique mechanism. It's kind of a Reiner-Nietzsche mechanism. You have wealth and you have fame. And whichever is lower is your score at the end of the game. So you got to bring both of those up. Well, is there also a victory point? You score... Oh, you add your lower to your victory points or something like that, right? Now I can't quite remember.
What do you mean?
I think there's also a victory point. Like, I think you also gain VPs, and you have to bring the lower one up. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
It's got that scoring mechanism in terms of, you know, you want to bring wealth and fame up, popularity or whatever, equally.
Meet them in the middle?
No.
So...
So you're rolling these dice, and what are you doing? Well, when you roll the dice, you can either gain control of a location in a city, a zone, and they have levels. There's like level 1, 2, and 3. 4 you can only get from special rolls. You can gain political office, so you can put a bunch of cubes down in order to gain control of like the 6 different political offices, which will basically give you, well, either an immediate bonus, like a one-time, or a permanent bonus, and then you can vote other people out. And you can also, like, gain control of these, like, this area over on the bridge and the water. And then there's a, like, conservation level that you can have, as well as parks and a few other things that you can gain. But all this you're trying to attain and have control. So it's basically an area control game. And when that timer marker gets to the bottom of the track, there's a scoring phase. And then you're going to go through and you're going to score. And certain sections of the city give you wealth, and certain sections of the city give you fame. You can score points based on where you are. The political tracks will give you various points. And then you kind of reset the political tracks. Everybody maintains control, but like, let's say I used 3 votes, which would essentially be 3 dice, to get into office. That would reset to 1. So now somebody only needs 2, which is a pretty easy roll to take over that from me. So it kind of resets like the voting season. And people in Centerville are very fickle, so they want new people in office all the time. So... Yeah, that essentially explains the game. That's not, you know, that's the nuts and bolts, and you go through. I thought it was interesting. There's a lot of neat choices. You can also gain those vocation tiles. So there's like a big set collection. That's a lot of scoring from those.
Right.
We did not stop you from scoring like all of one type, and it was like 40 points.
Right.
And that was like you added that on to your 40 points you scored throughout the game.
Yeah, I don't, that was that just big... people weren't looking at that as a scoring? I mean, it ramped up.
I don't
up.
Think I was. I think I knew when you had, like, 3, and I was like, ah, 3 is 10 points, and then all of a sudden 3
but
became
it,
7,
yeah.
And it was, like, 45 points. I was like, oh, gosh.
It was a huge swing, and obviously...
needed to take some from you.
The way, like, the way I was collecting them gave me a focus for everything. Like the rest of the game, I needed to score the other type of points than what I'd get for my set.
Right, right.
So it's kind of, it does give you something, even though it's like...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, so it did balance. It wasn't like, oh, this one thing is just going to run away with it, you know? But it was neat to try to balance that. I think the game started off, and I was fairly frustrated with the, like... with the way the roles and everything worked, you know, it felt like I always wanted to like optimize, like I wanted to use every die and just make it optimal. Gotcha. On my turn, right? Like it felt like it was like if you didn't use a die, you were wasting an action.
Sure.
But I think it got to the point where like some of the symbols just didn't really do much, or you needed to have multiples to kind of really benefit from those. So it didn't feel like it was as big a deal as I thought it was. So as the game went on, like it felt like it opened up a little bit to kind of show you what scoring actually mattered, or like how scoring actually happened, right? Yeah. And that's the big thing.
And scoring's a big deal in this game.
Yeah.
It's just like three scorings, and the final scoring is mm-hmm. kind of what you've known all along.
Yeah, and you can do a lot to not really accomplish much for your score too. Like yeah. like there's a lot of stuff that you're trying to balance, and some things you're just trying to stay ahead of, like the last place, whereas others you're trying to, like, I guess it's all balancing that, right? Do you want to go to first in this section, or do you just not want to be last in all these sections, right? Like it felt like there was a lot of significance to that, and just playing everywhere, but not right. necessarily, I don't know, like trying to focus a little bit, but also balancing everything is the big thing that the game seemed to kind of lead toward.
Yeah, there was probably more balancing your own play than playing the other players.
Mm-hmm.
There was like minor elements of playing the other players, like, oh, city locations are going to run out, or, oh, first one here gets this bonus. But that kind of happened with the fall of the dice, like you said, like, oh, I'll vote you out of office now because I just rolled to vote you mm-hmm. out of office, right? And, oh, well, I can't vote Brian out of office even though he's winning. Or perceived winning or whatever. So I got to vote you out of office. You're in dead last.
Right.
So it did some of that by the dice. I think for me, you know, it wasn't the best city building game I played. And it wasn't the best dice rolling game I played. But put the two together, and it's a pretty solid, like, dice rolling, city building strategy game. There was definitely strategy and choice.
Yeah.
It wasn't just, oh, you know, King of Tokyo definitely is more. What did the dice roll? Let me go do that. And the strategy choices are a little more minimal, so.
But yeah, no, I was liking it more so toward the end. So, and I obviously I won, so there is a little bit of that. But I think it opened up, and it was less restrictive than I thought it was. And I thought the restriction at the beginning was frustrating, but when it opened up, now it felt like, I don't know, it felt like there were choices and there were things to try to balance.
Cool. Well, that is Welcome to Centerville from GMT Games, and you can play it in our library at the store. That's what's on our table. Let us know what's on yours. All right, a couple episodes back, I went through the BGG 200 to 101. So Brian and I are going to continue on that trend. I think we're just going to go 100 to 50. Because two of us commenting on 100 games will be a pretty long segment. And as much as I like discussion topics, I don't need them to be hours and hours and hours. The reviewing the games is more important. But this is kind of fun to look at every so often and just see where things are at. I think it's really important to recognize that BGG is intended to be popular games. So there's going to be games you love that are not popular. And that's okay. You should still love games that are not popular. But it's also like, hey, check out these games. People really like them and they're popular in terms of that. So anyway, enough defending BGG rankings. I don't really care. It's just a fun list to read through and hopefully look at some games we don't otherwise. So number 100 is Ticket to Ride Europe. Now, Ticket to Ride is an amazing game. Ticket to Ride Nordic Countries is a great game. Ticket to Ride... UK and Pennsylvania is an awesome expansion. Ticket to Ride New York is way awesome, even though you would think you don't need it. It's great in 15 minutes. Ticket to Ride Europe, I have not played.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have... I know that you have to pick up people and you can put stations out and all that kind of stuff. And I think I've set it up to play with Zephra, but we've never actually started playing it, so...
Yeah, no, it's fun. I mean, is that the one where you're also trying to connect different, like, countries? Or, like, different... You're trying to cross the border, right? I don't know. I think you're
I'm not sure. There's so many of them.
Yeah, no, but Ticket to Ride Europe is great. So
cool.
Yeah. 99 is Aeon's End. I don't understand this one, but I've also played like some of the worst games that you like from your words, yes. The worst games that you've ever played of Aeon's End. So
yeah, 3 and 4 player in this game has just never worked for me, but 1 and 2 is great. 2 really is 1, because 1 you have to play double handed, which is a little bit of a negative, right? Like, I don't mind, like, Lord of the Rings LCG, sometimes I'll play two-handed, and that's more fun, because the decks can play off each other. But 1 also works great, but it really changes a lot of things. But in this one, you play 1, you play 2, so it's really just kind of the same. It's great. It's great like that. And with 3 and 4, it just falls apart.
Okay.
Every time I played. this is one I'm on the fence, because there's the legacy version. I really want to try it, and some people say it's great, and it'll walk you through the game, but I don't know if I want to be handheld and walked through the game. Apparently, the legacy like starts simpler and ends where this picks up.
Okay.
But I want to go beyond that complexity, so I haven't tried it in terms of all that. But it's a really neat deck builder. I guess the thing that it always like focuses on is, oh, you can flip your deck, or like you do flip your deck, you don't shuffle, so you can create combos, but it never really works out that way, because there's a lot of like events that happen that then negate, oh, I played this spell, or you have to ready spells. But the breach system is awesome. How you have to like open up the breaches to be able to put more spells out. So you're really constantly making a decision of like, am I going to destroy that like minion that came out? Am I going to straight attack the enemy? Am I going to defend the town? Am I going to upgrade myself?
What was that other one?
Those 4 elements are really cool. Another game like that?
Shadows.
Oh, Shadow Rift.
Shadow Rift.
Yeah, and that has like a 3rd edition now.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, that game was interesting with a horrible rule book.
Yeah.
But yeah, once we got it down, that game was a lot of fun too.
I liked that one. So.
Okay. All right, Grand Austria Hotel. So this game's interesting because I played this with Kathy several times, and we just got eaten alive by this Emperor track that requires you to score. But this is like, this is a beloved game. People love this game.
Yeah.
And I have said that I want to go back and play it. I actually think I have the store copy at my house. And so I really just need to get a chance to play this game. I know one of the things that was always maligned for was like 4-player, the dice draft, like you roll dice and then you draft them.
Just the length of time, right?
Yeah, it's like if I go first and I got to wait for everybody to take 2 turns before I get back to my turn. But I guess once people get the think down.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a very long game overall. I think it falls in under 1.5 hours, so.
I mean, a ton of people have played it.
It just gets played all the time.
Yeah. And I played it once at 2, I think, right? We played it like a while ago.
So.
And it was one that didn't jump as like, oh, let's get this back to the table right away. But, you know, looking back at it, I want to play it again.
Yeah. Straight up, the way people love the game, I want to love it the same. So it's I definitely want to play. So it's definitely on my want to play again.
So next up, 97 is The Resistance Avalon. So another game that...
Social deduction game.
Yeah. I'm not as huge on this style. I guess this one feels a lot more stressful to me, unless I'm playing as the good guys, then it's fun.
Yeah.
But besides that, I just, the lying nature of it is like, it doesn't feel like it's done in a fun way for me.
Right. Yeah.
But a lot of people love it.
And as far as social deduction games go, I'm almost more interested in playing a new one each time just to see what the mechanisms are than like replaying one over and over again. But I played the original Resistance a ton and really had a blast with it a lot, so. There you go. 96, Champions of Midgard. I love this game. First game I ever got it at my first Gen Con. And the expansion's just up. And I mean, this is one of those games where, like, the expansion is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually know that it fixes the game. I think people are inherently wrong in their assessment, like, oh, you just roll dice and hope you... It's like, no, you have to, like, play the odds over. Totally reminds me of my Axis and Allies deck. I don't just say, well, I had 30 plastic soldiers and you had 20 plastic tanks. I should win because I had more. Well, no, because soldiers inherently are worse than tanks.
Right.
So I have to play the odds. And that's what you have to do in this game. Don't go in and say, well, if I roll well, I'll win. Go in and say, boy, if I roll really bad, then I'll mitigate with this, and then I'll mitigate with this, and I will guarantee I win.
Yeah.
Or, hey, I'm going to try to spread myself thin and hope I win to try to catch the lead. Right? I mean, that's okay, too.
You can totally have a game where you're just completely out of it, though. Like I haven't had a brutal game happen to me in Champions of Midgard. I could see if like something like that did happen.
Yeah.
Early on in my playing of it, like, it would just be really brutal to try to go back. But I think at this point I've played it enough where I see the value in it, and I'll, you know, I'll struggle through like a brutal game if I have that.
Yeah.
But otherwise it's just got a lot of it's fun.
Yeah. So. You haven't played with Valhalla though, have you? Or you finally
I don't think I played with Valhalla.
You need to play with Valhalla.
I played with the other
one. It really is good though, because it allows you to take that chance and say, if I don't win, because every time something gets killed, a die gets killed, you get a token.
Yeah.
And then your tokens, you have all these things you can trade them in for, which is just fun. And then you want stuff to die in this game anyway. Right, because you have a max.
Yeah.
So it's cool. Way better than Blood Rage. This game is way better than Blood Rage. And Blood Rage gets all the fame. Although Blood Rage is just up above.
It's just a
different... They're both in the top 100, right? Cool.
All right, so 95 is a Game of Thrones, the board game, second edition. I have not played this one, so you played it once,
it's
right?
It's just two big dudes on a map, diplomacy, figure out what everybody's going to do. I don't mind that stuff, but it's like, I don't need to do that for 6 hours. Just let me play Twilight Imperium 4 and make my plan and react to your plan. I don't need heavy diplomacy
right.
as part of the game. I like the politics cards, but it's not me. I love the Game of Thrones books. I'm not into the show, which I think it started the final season.
I think
it's
on like
its way,
middle,
or it's coming up. I don't
like
know.
This month or so.
But, I mean, if you love Game of Thrones, I'd imagine this game is going to be totally... for you. Am I evens?
Yeah.
Istanbul. Just played this recently. Istanbul's really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really fun game. I really like this. It's light. It's snappy. It played well with two. And whatnot. I got nothing but good to say about it.
Yeah, I felt like two was kind of racing at the same pace in some ways.
Yeah.
So I'd like to try it at a larger player count, but, you know, it's still fun. So... The big box just came out, I think. Right?
Yeah, nice.
So, all right, 93 Santorini. I don't think I've played this one either, unfortunately. Sorry. I know I've been trying to, but abstracts are just tough to, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's clever. You have these special powers that can add, like, the advanced level. But for what it is, like, it's such a simple abstract. There's such a, like, frustration
right.
level. You're constantly slowing the other person down. So it's very clever. And
it's one of those ones that I haven't played, but I feel like I've... seen it enough to know it, you know?
Right. 92 is Castles of Mad King Ludwig. I don't like it. I don't like the auction mechanism. I'm okay with building the castles. I loved that Palaces of Mad King Ludwig. I like between two Palaces of Mad King, Castles of Mad King Ludwig.
Yeah.
I like Suburbia. I just don't like this one. The auction is just a way too slow part of the game. People love this game. The silly tiles, the crazy... I
really like the visual side of it, and I want to play this one again. I've played it once, two-player, and I loved it, but I mean, it's just, I don't know, I'm trying to think if I'd play it with Rachel. I need to, so I'll try it again, but yeah, I really do like it. 91 is Star Realms. That one I haven't played in a while, but it was one of those first, like, small box card games that just could kind of work as, like, two-player, back and forth. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that's been coming out for it. I haven't really explored all that,
right.
except, like, the app was great.
Yeah.
I played through, like, a lot of the scenarios there,
oh, cool.
and that was fun. I don't know. It's definitely kind of in that, like, I feel like that's kind of one of those new classic style games in some ways, and I think Star Realms definitely has some staying power.
Yeah, I really like Hero Realms.
Is that on here? Do you know?
I don't know.
I guess we'll see.
We haven't looked. I haven't looked ahead. So right. I think it was in the 200 to 101 or something.
Okay.
So there's that. And the other expansion for this was in the 200 to 100. I hate saying that. The other list, which I had not played the expansion. So that was one game I hadn't played. But
okay.
New Frontiers or something like
yeah.
that. 90 is Legendary Encounter and Alien deck building game. So I love the encounter system, and this is the first one, and this was the best one.
Mm-hmm.
They've all just kind of gone down from there. So I don't know what they did in this one. I don't know if it's the theme of Alien that worked better, but the Predator one just didn't work. It just was not good.
That was rough. Yeah.
And Firefly one, the art is horrible. It was okay, but it's very random. You can just come across things where it's like, boy, we just need more time, or this card came out and it's too early. As far as I'm looking at Legendary right now, I just want to play with Larry, with all his stuff, and play some of the variants he has for, like, original Marvel Legendary.
Right.
That's where I'm down.
Yeah,
as
I want
much
to play
as I
that
like
again.
The encounter system, I just want to play
yeah.
with some of that other stuff. So
that's and there's a lot that's, like, that's been added to that, too, right? I know I was talking to him about that,
yeah.
like comparing encounters versus regular legendary, you know, and kind of that base box to base box, there isn't really a comparison. But now with everything for, you know, Marvel Legendary, there's like, there's a ton of, a ton of added content to that.
I did like what Eric Sommer said on Dice Tower recently, where he said, they'll play the game and they all win, and then they'll count their score and be like, who's the MVP?
Right.
Because it is weird to have that, like...
The scoring part.
The scoring part. I mean, it's fine if you then have characters, I think he said Deadpool. I haven't played with Deadpool. Like, purposely does that, tries to steal mm-hmm. points from people. But it is just weird. Like, the game is very easy if you don't have that.
Yeah.
So, you know...
It was from...
That's true, yeah.
When you
maybe,
played
maybe,
it.
Maybe it was
so.
A change, so...
All right. 89 is War of the Ring First Edition. So I'm guessing second edition is going to be on here.
Yeah, this is just dumb. Right. I don't know why they do this. Like they're so similar.
Yeah.
It's like changes the size of cards.
But it's kind of the same type of game. It's like the same game, just...
It's literally the same
game. It is. It's not even...
I don't even know the... the only difference I know is the components from first edition to second edition. I mean, they probably tweaked a couple rules of the rule book, but they didn't like overhaul the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I need to play this again. It's just...
Yeah, you just got to play it
a matter of
you played at four,
yeah.
which is okay, but it's that same
yeah,
two
it
people
was fine,
talking. It works, but it's better with less. 88
is
Yokohama. I just don't like Yokohama. I don't like the feel of the stickers sliding across the board. And I would just play Istanbul every time. I think
Yokohama
is too much. And I want to pull it back to Istanbul and just do the race.
I really like Yokohama. That's up there.
Cool.
87, Raiders of the North Sea. So this one's a great one. This one's been... Wait, this one's the right one, right? This is the...
Yeah, this is
the... Okay. I was second-guessing myself. But this one definitely, like, first play was okay.
Yeah.
But it's just grown on me since then, especially with expansions, adding some content, and just, like, this one's... I'm glad Renegade picked it up and actually, there's some support for it now in the U.S.
Yep. 86 is Alchemist. So, yeah, I just didn't understand... this is like a deduction game, and I thought the deduction was simpler than it was, and I was like, yeah, I've got this, and they're like, yeah, you missed this entire layer, and I was like, I'm gonna go get food, everybody, you finish. And I don't think anybody took that poorly. I was just like, I'm out.
Right, no, you actually got up and left the game.
I might as well go get food somewhere.
So
I wasn't really mad at the game. I was just like, there's no way I could come back from this hole I've dug myself into.
You were a little mad at the game too. Or you just didn't
I think
have...
I came across more that way. I was just like, oh, dang, yeah, I'm annoyed. I didn't realize... Anyway, I know people like it. I like deduction. I like doing deduction puzzles. I don't know that I like doing deduction puzzles while playing a board game.
Yeah.
I do in some sense. I really want to play the Sid Saxon game. That, like, original...
Sleuth?
Yeah, I really want to play Sleuth and just keep it to something like that. You know? Even Clue, I think, is still fun. Just get rid of the dice.
Right.
Clue, just don't roll the dice, just go to a room, make a guess. Game's super fun, takes 30 minutes. It's great.
So, all right. Next up, 85 is Agricola, Revised Edition. I wonder if that matters. I guess we'll see. But, no, Agricola is just kind of that... That's one of those ones that people still are playing. It's got the longevity to it. A great game that's kind of... I don't know. I'm glad that that's still got traction. I know there's some other stuff that people kind of... Like that, this one's one of the more divisive ones, I think, right? Like, some people stand by Agricola and say that's the game, and some people go to Caverna as the new one that's upgraded the game system. But I don't know, I think there's definitely still some value to Agricola. I haven't played it out myself, so that kind of helps me, but I know there are certain people that, you know, like it definitely has been around long enough to potentially play it out and play a very similar game from game to game.
Yeah, so the revised edition has a really great thing where it helps play with kids. Like, it's got kind of simpler, and the cards are easier to manage, or you play with no cards. And then it has little tokens where you tell your kid, like, oh, you could do this, this, or this. So you kind of think of three options, and then they pick one of the three.
Okay.
And that's really nice. I thought that was a really smart way to handle that with kids. I don't know that you have to teach kids Agricola, but,
right,
you know, it's there. And I thought that was fun, and Zephyr played it and really had a blast. We got through Agricola in under an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So that was great. But Agricola is really about the cards. That's where it comes in. And it really is Misery Farm. Like, I played this, what, it was about a year ago now with Kathy, or a year and a half, and I keep referencing it. But, like, we got to the end, and we just obliterated each other's farms because we couldn't,
right,
we couldn't optimally do. So it was like, wow, I'm just going to screw over your farm instead. And that really did have that negative feel to it. My potential of 50-plus points dropped to, like, 17 points.
Right.
Because there's just so many negatives. So I think on that front, I like Caverna better, but I understand that Agricola is the, like, better game,
mm-hmm,
if you can deal with that harshness. And I think the more I'm playing, the less I can deal with harshness. I'm sliding towards the Rotto Care Bear.
Okay.
The more I play games, and the less on the interactive side. There are some where it's still really fun, like Estates or whatever, where that's kind of the goal,
right,
to do all that. But we should keep moving.
How long you're trying to play the game for, too, right?
Yep. Forbidden Stars is one of those 4X games that I really liked, but it's just, yeah, and that pile of 4X games, who's coming out? So Forbidden Stars is probably going to compete directly with, like, Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea. Which do I want? What thing do I want? How do, right, I want to be playing? How asymmetric do I want to be? What do I want combat to look like? But it's a solid game. I really enjoyed my three or four plays, yeah, when it first came out, and haven't touched it much since. So there's that one.
All right. 83 is Stone Age. So again, this one was one of the, I remember playing this with Rachel on one of the first 24-hour
nice
game days without the rule book in there. It was, we had to print some off and play it that way. But I don't know. This one always seems to be with me. Like, when, you know, when we go away, it's one that just, it's an easy sell for us to play together, and it's a fun game. It's great. So
yeah, I still really want to play this with, like, Zephyr and Kathy, and I just couldn't. Mason was great. Let me borrow a copy, and I just couldn't get Zephyr to play. I don't know, maybe it just doesn't have that appeal for her, or just looks like a big game. But I know that new edition came out, so I want to kind of try that. 82, Descent's Journey in the Dark. So I haven't played the second edition. I kind of, like, borrowed a bunch of your stuff and tried to play it and solo it or whatever. I just never really got there. But the original first edition, it's funny, this one's now a campaign. And when the first edition came out, I was like, why don't they have a campaign? And then they tacked out a campaign and made the second edition. And now I'm like, please stop just making campaigns. I really want to play Descent First Edition. I start and end, I, you know, and start as a weak character, end as a full character, and end it after 4 hours.
Everything else is just level up, level up, level up.
Yeah, so you just level up within there, and I'd almost go back to that. But I know people love this. I could totally see the benefit. For my money, I'd play Imperial Assault if I was going to do that, because Star Wars is just way bigger of a draw for me. But I think third edition is going to be on the horizon.
So, yeah, I mean, at some point, it's got to, right? They've kind of taken a break from releasing a ton. Next up, 81 is Lisboa. So that's another one. I need to play it the right way, right?
Okay, you played very slightly wrong rules.
Nah.
One, I think we actually did, and I think I dropped one of the rules, which is like when you remove cubes from your own board, you can then spend them for a bonus. And I think we did play that originally, and I think I've just dropped it in a couple plays till somebody reminded me of it.
Okay.
The other is the boats. You have to buy the boats in a stack. Those are the only two rules I miss. This is Vital Lacerda's best game. I love this game. I will play this. I love the solo. I love the two-player. I love the three-player. I love the four-player. I love it at all counts. It totally meshes and makes sense in my head, and other people just look at it as a big, overwhelming puzzle, and I just eat it up. I just love this game. And the big box, the art, the edition.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's probably not a top 10 game for me, but it would definitely be on the slips of paper when I went to...
Forgetting. It would be in the discussion.
It would just be in the discussion. It's probably more like top 25, and there are just 10 games that I think are better than it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just a classic Euro game that I Right. I mean, it's not classic. It's 2017.
but it feels yeah, like it. It's got that feel.
I'd play this game almost any time.
All right. Nice.
Kemet is number 80. Dudes on a Map game. I really like these plays. I know it's not particularly one of your favorites, so when a game like this comes out that's a little bit bigger, you're around and we'll roll to Cyclades or something else. But I'd be down to play Kemet again. This would be another on the fun of going through this. Right now I'm like Grand Austria Hotel, Kemet. I should get those back to the table.
Yeah, I'd probably play Kemet again.
Nice.
But everyone loves it. I mean, it's just one of those ones that, like, I don't know. Maybe that's one where you just have to play it enough to, like, to feel comfortable with whatever happens.
Right, right.
And that's kind of the thing. Like, the one play didn't feel that way, but there are two expansions.
Oh, you only played it once?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
All right, 79, Pandemic Iberia. I'll let you kind of... You played this one, right?
I have. Yeah, it's awesome. I can't figure out why everybody keeps complaining, oh, there's all these versions of Pandemic. They're all good, and they're all unique. The only one I don't like is Cthulhu. I think it's because I don't like Cthulhu theme, but it's also just, like, really easy in comparison. Like, you just have these four sections, and
yeah,
I don't know. But this one's great. I don't know which one is my favorite. I loved the Fall of Rome one, even though it had dice. Mm-hmm. I love this one. You can build, like, it's clever. You can, like, supply water. You build a region, and it supplies water.
You did
water.
Rising Tide.
I did Rising Tide. That one was great. That one seemed like the most difficult, and like you really have to puzzle out where you're going. And of course, you know, Legacy is amazing. Mm. So, yeah, 78 is Crokinole. This is just a great dexterity style. Play another player. I mean, I brought this the week we went to the beach at my house, borrowed your board, and it just got played. It just stayed out.
Yeah,
it just got played easy. Nonstop. You know, it's great. It's like it feels like a game you can learn, and you can also kind of be like a master of. Right. You know, you could be better than some people and be learning from others. And it could be a competition game, and it can also just be a friendly game, like family.
Crokinole is great. Yeah. So
done.
77.
I can't believe this game is
so
already
Wingspan has shot up the.
That's
the rankings.
Unbelievable.
I know it's not even like available. Fully available. Just the limited release, but yeah, Wingspan is a great game. I don't know. There's not much more to... We talked about it recently, right?
It's just not this good.
But it's, like, it's accessible.
It's this hot.
But, you could say that about the 76 other games ahead of it, right? Like, why would other things be this high?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, obviously...
I don't know that it would make my top 100 list. But if you ask me my top 100 from the last year, okay, it would be on that list. I'll see where it is 6 months from now, and I'll be really intrigued to see where it is at awards time. Right, this is one of those ones that has to hold. Like, Rising Sun from 2018 isn't quite holding as popular as it was at this time of the year last year. There's so many other things. Well, I loved the game, so I don't want to down the game.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favorite games from this year. It might be on my top 10 from this year.
Right.
But I don't know if that pushes it to be this good.
All right.
But it's fun. I really it. I feel like I'm being the Debbie Downer of the whole thing. But, like, just please do not pay $300. So, if you want to pay $1,000 for charity to get this game, oh, that's...
Right. But like, it's... I mean, like, you're talking, I guess... Like, if this is just the, like, the popular games, right?
Right.
Now you're talking 77 isn't ridiculous. But it's not to say that, like, all of a sudden it's the 77th best game ever.
That's true. Yeah, you totally just threw my own thing that I said at the beginning back at me, which is awesome.
But
it's a great game, and when it comes out again, people should buy it, because it's great. It's a great game to have in a collection. I think it's tricky compared to, like, a Splendor to get to play with, like, a family or, like, after dinner or whatever. Like, it's got more to it than that. You got to keep that number down, but it's an awesome game, so I'll pull back on that. Dead of Winter, I don't know. This game was so popular, and it's just... I'm done with zombies. I'm done with just rolling
this
dice.
This is not a zombie
to search
game.
For things, and I'm done with Brian being the traitor every single time.
Yeah.
And just hosing us and being like, well, I won.
I know, that was
dead.
Brutal.
We, like, kicked you out, and then
we never
the
figured out. Yeah, we never figured out how to, like, to just play it as a cooperative game and beat it, right?
Right.
I mean, at least the scenarios that we did.
Yeah.
And, like, those times I wasn't, like, trying to help. So... I don't know. It was. I like it. I need to play it again, though. But it's just, it's tough to get this one to the table.
I have not seen, like, the other stuff that they released really sell.
Oh, what do you like the other Dead of Winter stuff?
Like
the Crossroads.
They made another one. One where, like, there's two warring camps or something. That whole theme, like, bothers me. like the it's the end times,
and now
and
it's
let's
just...
fight each other, which I think is what Walking Dead becomes.
Yeah,
I can't handle the idea that like in this chaos of humanity being at its end, we will go to war with each other. Like, I don't know.
But
that
when it was like
me.
Before, like everything kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know, like
it's
in
fine,
Europe
you know, there'll
or something.
Be a few bad eggs. I understand that, right? There'll be people trying to take advantage. I like
it's
that.
It's just all power, right? It's all just vying for power and trying to to gain it however you can.
Next!
So 75 is Dominion. That's one of those classics now, where it's just got, you know, like the one of the first deck builders that really took hold and has been, it's been releasing a ton of stuff, and it's just... It's a great one. We always need to make sure that it's on the shelf because, you know, people will buy it. And, you know, it's easy to get lost in that clutter. But, you know, it's one of the games that just people should try.
It's awesome. I couldn't find my copy. So Kathy said, I wanted to play with Zephyr. Kathy said, why don't you just teach her Heart of Crown, which I like better than Dominion.
Right.
And I did. So we played it over this vacation that we were away. Zephyr wanted to stay up late. I said, you can stay up late if you play Heart of Crown with me. So she did. And she generally enjoyed it. Heart of Crown has the extra level. Once you build your deck, you have to deconstruct your deck to score points.
Right.
Which I really like. And just thematically, it's way more interesting. But Dominion, what I've always said, I've always compared games back to Dominion. The best part is you could be building your own deck and be like, oh, the game's over now. And you count up your points. You're like, I had 12. And somebody's like, I had 55. And you're like, I had a blast. I had no idea that you had 55 points. So Concordia is very similar in that vein. Like, oh, I got blown out of the water. Who cares? I had fun like building my engine, so... Great on that front. 74 is Pandemic. They're all great, including original Pandemic.
Yeah. 73, Star Wars X-Wing Miniatures Game. So I know the second edition of this has really... It's starting to pick up a little bit, I think. I know that with all like the Clone Wars stuff, they're trying to expand the Star Wars universe more than they had with the first edition. But I don't know. It definitely got overwhelming to me, personally. Like, I wanted to just... play, you know, like you get to the point where you just want to play X-Wings versus TIE Fighters, and you know,
yeah,
it gets to the point where there are all these ships that you don't know, and oh, there are cards that you need in here to but I think the second edition is trying to solve that, and we'll see.
Nice. 72 is Trajan. Just got a reprint from Renegade Game Studios. Really want to go back and play Trajan again and see, because this was one of our favorites. Have you played Trajan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I played a few times.
You probably played with us, so that was probably in the overlap.
Yeah, I played a couple times with Ben since.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
and I'd really like to see where it falls in the grand, you know, because this, even though it's only 2011, this was kind of, you know, like the heyday of some of these, and it would be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it falls. So this would be on my play again list.
71, Tigris and Euphrates. I haven't played it yet.
Man, so. And I've tried to get this out, too.
It just seems just like it's a rough one to...
And it's not. It's really neat. Of course, it has that, like, you're trying to you score your lowest.
Right.
Right?
Like, not rough in the learn, or the, like...
Convincing people this is what we're going to play.
It seems brutal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like,
no,
that's
it can
the
be
thing.
Brutal, yeah.
So.
70s Russian Railroads, that's a really fun game. And the expansion makes it really, really good with the coal.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be down to play, but man, it is like an independent multiplayer solitaire. Yeah. I mean, it's worker placement and you're fighting for spots, but it's like, oh, you took the two there, I'll get that next turn, take this one. But the engine is crazy because it's like, oh, I'm going to score 10 points and then 30 points, and then 250 points. Yeah. Like, really kind of nuts.
69 is Twa. So that's great. That's a great dice game. You know, I don't know, like, I'm glad I got this to the table, you know, I guess it's been a few years now, but it was one that I'd played a long time ago, and then just kind of keeping on the fringes is huge for this one, because it's great.
Yeah, this game and Elysium are the two games I'm most mad at Kathy for, because for some reason she doesn't want to play Elysium again, and it's phenomenal, but two, it's so good. And Twa, we played it, and she just didn't like it. And I was like, that was so much fun. Terraforming Mars is kind of the other one, but I got to give her, she doesn't like
space. Yeah.
But that game is so great. But so Twa was a little upsetting, because the most recent play I played with Kathy, she's like, yeah, I'm done. I don't want to play that game again. And I was like, what? It's so good. 68 is Time Stories. It's just time for the reboot. It'll be very interesting to see what they do.
Right.
68 is an interesting rating, because this game like is so fun on that first one, and then the others just feel like they just didn't innovate at
right.
all. It was just so stagnant. And so it'll be interesting to see what they're going to do with this reboot on Time Stories.
All right. 67, Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective, Thames Murders, and Other Cases. So you've played this one, right?
Yeah.
I haven't played this one.
I just had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
And I like Detective.
I've had people tell me to try it.
Yeah.
So
I guess solo it's good, or with two, you have to read through a lot of stuff and then track, and I don't know. The case I did, I just didn't even know what was going on. So
okay. Yeah, no, I could see that.
And it wasn't like lack of anything.
Yeah.
Roll for the Galaxy. Neither of us like this, so we can move on, right?
I need to try the expansion.
Did you play the expansion?
Not yet.
What? No. I was going to borrow it from you. You were like, no, I'm going to play it.
I was, but then I got sick.
Oh, right. Okay. We should play this tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll bring it.
Okay. Oh, it's an amazing game.
Yeah.
It might be the best of For the Galaxy.
So, yeah, no, it's really good.
I really like Jump Drive.
Race for the Galaxy is really good.
They're all really good. New Frontiers, we just need to play with less.
Yeah. 65, Battlestar Galactica, the board game. You still own most of it.
Yeah, I have a whole bunch of it.
All right. But yeah, someday I'll play it again.
Yeah, it's kind of a long social deduction game at this point, right? Mm-hmm. You're playing a game and a social, but unlike Dead of Winter, like, yes, this game is beating you down, but you can also make progress.
Right. The tough thing is, like, it's like such a huge thing. I guess, is it based on player count where there's like someone that can kind of change, like if you have
can be
I've only played it that way, and it seems like it's like a no-brainer, like you just have to make sure that person's human
mm-hmm.
for the second half of the game,
right?
And if you don't do that, then the humans are in rough shape. But if you randomly get dealt a Cylon card and you've worked all the, it just seems like that part's
a little weird, yeah.
But
suddenly I had to switch teams.
And we were making good progress. But I guess you have to figure it out based on that. So
Mombasa is really, really good. Probably Alexander Pfister's best game.
Yeah.
But then I listened to the Heavy Cardboard episode of Great Western Trail,
and
I want to play that so bad again, mm-hmm. and see, because I think I might have just not played. And then, there's another one I'm mad about with Kathy. She doesn't want to play Great Western Trail. She doesn't like the cowboy theme. Sorry. Cowboys I'm not is... mad
no, yeah,
at
yeah.
Kathy.
You just want to play these great games.
I want to play these great games, and they play great with two. Mombasa's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Really good.
So, 63, The Gallerist. So this one's ahead of Lisboa.
No, this is the second worst Vital game. I don't understand the joy of this game. It's just so much collect tiles. I totally jumped on your words, Scott.
No, this one didn't. No, I'm listening because I'm kind of agreeing. It didn't feel like it was as fun as the other ones. I don't know. Like, CO2 wasn't as... Well, I didn't like CO2.
I didn't like it at all.
But The Gallerist was kind of the rough one out of the other bunch, which are definitely... more in that style for me.
I understand what he was trying to do with The Gallerist and make this worker placement game with all these layers, but just that whole section where you have to score, like it's just about getting scoring tiles and putting your things down, is just so area control.
Right.
If I pick the right things, I can score the right way, and then everything else is just subservient to that, and that is not enjoyable to me.
So...
62 is Patchwork, and I love this game. It's a great two-player game. There's so many two-player games, but I think this one rises to the top because just great to move around all that.
I don't need to play it again.
Dumb.
61 is Dominion Intrigue. Why is that?
It's just an expansion to Dominion. Yeah. Like they're all expansions. Just group it all together.
Yeah. But Dominion's fun. Not to say.
Yeah. Root is great. It's amazing. I know it's imbalanced. They're going to fix the balance issues. Whatever. Like, they're going to have expansions. This is going to become an evergreen.
Right.
It is, and it's going to become one. We're going to talk about this game in 10 years. Unless they innovate above it, I guess.
Right.
But, I mean, the art is cute. It's going to draw people in. They're going to keep doing things and building off this game. I just taught three games at once at ConCon, which was awesome. And it's an awesome game.
All right. 59 is Clank, a deck building adventure. I never call it by that full name. that one's great. I'm looking forward to the expansions for this and the legacy aspect of it potentially.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that does, but Clank's, I don't know. I just haven't had this on the like top of my game pile. I haven't played it in a while, so I need to try it again.
Yeah, it's interesting, some of these ones that don't come back. Codenames is a top 10 game. It's so good. It's his 58.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm being brief and you're giving more on yours explanations.
Oh, no,
but Codenames is just so good. People know what Codenames is. It should be in every house in the world. And right. People should be playing it all the time. It is tough with kids.
But next up, El Grande at 57. That one's, I guess this one's kind of been on this list for a while, right? It must have been, because it has been around for so long.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's,
yeah, you, oh, yeah, it used to be a top game.
It's a fun, yeah, it's a fun area control. I haven't, it didn't jump out to me as like, I don't know. I know I played it in the midst of everything else, so I kind of came to it once the new version came out. So it didn't have that, like,
right,
classic feel where I was like, I'd been playing it all these years, but I don't know. It was fun.
Yeah, the area control element can be tough for me because I just,
it's rough,
don't like all that, but I think I can appreciate this game. 56. I feel like I'm being super negative. It was tough the last time I played it.
Eldritch, you know, Horror?
All that. No, Eldritch Horror is just in that vein. I want to be an Omni gamer, and I want to like games of this type. This exploration, go out, find things, mm-hmm. fight stuff. But those die rolls are just so tough, and the cards, and you just... I get that it's supposed to be an experience, but like I almost want to like build up my character instead of just be a pincushion that just bad things happen to and bad dice rolls happen, and eventually you just decide, oh, let me just see if I can go for it. So it's just a little too much for me on that front, but that's 56.
All right,
50. And I don't care about Cthulhu. It's just not a theme that draws me in, and I've said that to me done.
55, that must be a intentional... It's Five Tribes.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Five Tribes is great. I mean, I don't know. There isn't much else to say about that. It's been... I'm glad they've been doing the expansions and stuff like that. I know it definitely can be slow for some people. So I don't think I've played it with Rachel. I know she's at least tried it. It's just a lot to try to figure out.
And you have to wait till your turn.
Yeah.
You and can't take your turn before your turn.
You've got all these options. And it's so just nice. A matter of like... I know, like, I like playing this one with my gut more so than, like, trying to find the optimal one. Obviously, that can lead to you feeling stupid by, oh, I should have just done that one. That was, like...
And you really want to sit to the left of the dumbest person at the table.
Yeah.
Because they will set you up for free points. Because they'll go, oh, I can get 12 points instead of 10. Oh, and then they just gave you 17.
Right, so.
And that's super key. But it's still a great game.
Yeah.
Aside from that. 54 shouldn't be on the list. It's Twilight Imperium 3rd Edition.
So, we're skipping over it?
Yeah.
All right, 53, Rising Sun. I don't know if I'll play it, but I want to. I don't know if there's going to be a group that's going to be trying to play it. There's traction there. I could get people to play it.
Yeah, Mason loves it.
I don't own it.
And it looks awesome. It looks amazing. And it's an area control diplomacy game. I fall down. I can play those games when they're short. I can play area control. I can play
this
diplomacy when it's just all about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Even Sidereal Confluence, which is basically diplomacy of just trade, and that's fun to me to just try to figure out what I can make work and even remember that fun deal or that four-way deal I made is great, but this one's just, I don't know where to go, and it's like, oh, you took the first turn and took my spot, so now we're all going to hit you back this turn, and that was completely relevant because my only chance of winning was to take this one spot that I made happen, but since I went first that round,
it was just brutal.
Yeah, we got to pair up, so just kind of crazy.
Well, that was Rising Sun.
Anachrony, I think, would be a great game. This would be a play again for me. We played it. Larry, unfortunately, I know, didn't know a lot of the rules.
Well,
there was a lot of
Kickstarter stuff that came into it, right?
4 hours, which was way too long for a worker placement that I wanted to play.
Right.
But I would totally play this game again because this is another one people talk about. They just love.
Yeah. But so I don't know. I mean, it seems like there's almost too much in some of it.
Yeah.
But
right.
I'd play it again, yeah.
That is the way of Kickstarter.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy that people are like, yeah, I want to throw $100, look at all this stuff I get, and then they don't even play with half the stuff.
Or the stuff that's in there is just not worth playing with.
So it's like it could have been $50.
But
still, yeah.
So, and to cap this list off, 51 is Lords of Waterdeep. So that one's another great one that's just easy to get people into, and it plays really smoothly. So.
Yeah, it's amazing how having the Dungeons & Dragons, like, pictures...
I know it's
because thematic. It's just cubes, really, and you turn them in, and you place building. But that part is like, for as much as simple as we can look at Lords of Waterdeep sometime, and be like, ah, that's so simple. But those buildings are really clever. How people get to build the buildings, and then they're yours, and you get a bonus from them. That's really cool, because then you're almost like, oh, I want to build this, so I get that bonus every time, and just have other people use it. So you're trying to perceive not what the huge thing is,
right? Like, the big thing is this game evolves as you're playing. The end state of the game is basically not going to be the same from one game to the next. And I think with the expansions and stuff, it definitely ramps that up a little bit too. But it definitely has, like, that evolution is fun to try to see and try to value things differently as the game goes on. So yeah, that one's, I'm glad that it's done so well. I'm a little bit surprised based on everything, but it's a great game to get people into it.
Mm. Yeah. So that is 100 through 51. I mean, at some point I'll probably do 50-1, but they're not really shockers, you know? Like, what's in 50-1? I should be careful, right? Because people who are only getting into the hobby the last year or two, there's going to be a lot of stuff in here in terms of that. But I feel like getting the 200 to 51 is kind of a key number for people in that walk through there. So, I'm tired. That was a long episode.
That was,
I'm sorry, I felt like I got a little cranky at the end. That was not my goal. But it was just, I don't like this game, or I like this game, or this game shouldn't be on the list. I wasn't trying to be rude to anything in terms of that, but it was just...
Except for, it was probably something you were trying to do.
Sure.
All right.
Hey, let's end it there. We'll come back and have some more episodes. I don't know what's on the horizon right now. This is kind of where I wanted to get to. I wanted to get a bunch of episodes, get a Con, get a Gamma, get Kathy on an episode, get you an episode. So now, I don't know. I'd love to see where it goes from here. So. Awesome. Well, that's it. That's episode 11 squared of the Portal Gaming Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. And until next time, I'm your host, The Brant.
I'm your co-host, Brian.
And we hope you step